This year is dedicated Lili Nishmas Rachel Leah Bas Reb Chaim Tzvi. Hello everyone, hello. So far we've been discussing one of the benefits of learning the laws of Lashon Hara, becoming a more positive person, and your words affect who you are, they create you. So I just found recently in the overview to A Lesson a Day, two comments that really fit very well with things that we've been describing already. I wanted to start with that. This is sort of like an addendum to the previous two shiurim, the previous two classes. This is from the overview of A Lesson a Day. It's on the source sheet on page one, sources number two and three. So first here, source number two, it's page 24. So it says, you know, the pasuk says, "Mi yishal chafetz chayim oigamim liros tov," which means to see good. It's a very interesting language. A person who desires life, chafetz chayim, oigamim liros tov, to see good. A person, and then of course the pasuk goes on, "Nitzor l'shon chameira, u'svasecha midaber mir," guard your tongue from evil. So if you're careful with the laws of lashon hara, that's someone who's going to love days to see good. So it says here in the overview, what does it mean to see good? What's the connection? The answer is that seeing good, seeing the good in others and in life, is the engine that drives shmiras halashon. But that to see good is the goal, and it's a beautiful idea. If you're two things. A, if you see good, you'll be more careful with lashon hara. And B, if you're careful with lashon hara, you're going to see good. That's what the pasuk is saying. Liros tov. A person who's careful with lashon hara is going to see good out there in the world. So it's to see good as the cause, it's also an effect. That's what we've been describing. If you're careful with the laws of lashon hara, you will end up being a more positive person. You'll see more good out there in the world. A second source, beautiful ideas here. This is on page 37 of the overview. Source 3. Shmiras halashon instills in children confidence in the fundamental goodness of the world and other people. They learn to judge others favorably, forming a habit that enhances every relationship in their lives, and they develop the character traits that will equip them for the lifetime endeavor of serving Hashem. If you're careful with lashon hara, you tend to judge people more favorably. Moreover, lashon hara breeds unhappiness in the speaker. The momentary gratification of engaging in gossip is far outweighed by the damage of lashon hara does to one's perception of the world. A speaker of lashon hara trains himself in bitterness and complaining. In his eyes, he is surrounded by irritating, inconsiderate, flawed people who make his world a disappointing, uncomfortable place. This is what happens. If you speak lashon hara, then you're seeing all the negative around you, and you really become convinced that everything around you is bad, and you end up being unhappy. If you're in a negative, you know, bad, evil-filled world, so you're going to be unhappy. So lashon hara speakers tend to be more unhappy. That's what it says. Beautiful. I mean, well, not beautiful, but very important, striking point that it fits with what we said in the previous two classes. He makes it his habit to look past the godly image of his fellow Jew and gaze intently at his every flaw. His perceptions fill his heart with anger and disdain, and his mouth gives form and life to those feelings. So this is what we've been talking about till now. This is our third goal that we have when it comes to the laws of lashon hara. If you're careful with lashon hara, it affects everything about your life, becoming a more positive person, seeing the good in people, being liros tov, you see good out there. You're a happier person. All the things we've discussed in the previous, several things that we discussed in the previous two classes, and these sources fit there very well. Okay. So that's the third goal that we've been discussing. The broader goal, how being careful with the laws of lashon hara will affect our lives in general. Our first two goals, as we mentioned earlier, are of course number one, to learn the Sefer, go through the Sefer, and learn it with some depth and going through the footnotes. And number two, the goal is to speak less lashon hara. That's the goal. The goal, we have to use this learning to inspire ourselves to speak less lashon hara. So what I want to discuss, what I want to develop now is that these two goals are completely interconnected, intertwined. The idea of learning the Sefer in depth and the idea that we're trying to speak less lashon hara are totally interconnected. And this is based on a famous principle from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter Zatzal, the founder of the Muslim movement. And we're going to see several very exciting ideas based on what Rabbi Sol Salanter said. Rabbi Sol Salanter, the founder of the Muslim movement, he's known for several famous things. He's known for the Yud Gimel Midos that a person should try to develop, to have good Midos. Okay? He's also known for his famous comment. Someone once came to Rabbi Sol Salanter and said, you know, Rebbe, I have a half hour a day to learn. I'm very busy with my job and other responsibilities. I have very little time to learn. So I have half an hour a day to learn. What should I learn? Rabbi Sol Salanter said, learn Muslim. He said, Rebbe, look at a Chumash, Mishnah, Gemara. He said, no, learn Muslim. So Rebbe, why learn Muslim? So first, Rabbi Sol Salanter answered, if you learn Muslim for half hour a day, you'll see you have more than half an hour to learn. You'll find more time to learn. And you'll end up having time for other things as well. These are two very famous things that Rabbi Sol Salanter is known for. Okay. But maybe his most famous principle, maybe his most famous yesod, is exactly this idea. It's in the Igeres HaMusar. It's source number one. Rabbi Sol Salanter develops the idea, and this is often quoted. It's very often quoted in the later Musar Sfarim. The following idea. If a person wants to work on a midah, or a person wants to work on something in halacha, you want to daven better with more kavan. You want to work on your daven. Rabbi Sol Salanter says, one way to do that is to learn the halachos of that topic. Learn about it. Study it. Don't just study ways to be inspired to learn to daven better. You should also do that. Now learn the halachos of davening. Focus, hone in on, and spend time on learning the halachos. And that will automatically help you deal with davening better. This is what he writes. It's here in source number one. Haniska ve'ikir b'shimesh refuos ha-Torah v'tachalui ha-yetzer hu lilmod be'oz ve'iyu amok heitev. Learn with strength. Learn in depth. Dine ha-avera atzma ha-halachim kol se'ifel. Learn in depth. Learn with strength. The laws that relate to this avera, this particular avera, learn the halachos with all of its details. That's what he writes. And if you do that, it'll affect your nature, and you'll become a stronger person in that midah. He says here towards the bottom, "Vezos halo yadua." This is known. Kishtanus hateva tivaleid rak mi limud vehergel rav. If you want to change your nature, and like really make a change in yourself, it's hard work. You have to change your habits, and you have to learn hard and change your habits. Ubelachain, and therefore, hayisod hayikari v'hamud hanachon, the foundation, the main foundation of changing a habit, changing a bad habit, is what? Rak halimud harav v'halacha zu, hanogas laveira zo, ola mitzvah zo, uvifrat be'iyun, and especially in depth learn, hadeik hatev. Somehow, when you study the halachos, it makes an impact on your neshama. If I'm learning about the halachos, it'll change me as a person. This is the famous, very famous story of Rabbi Sol Salanter. I once heard a beautiful mashal that really sharply explains this mashal. I heard it from my Rebbe, Rav Daniel Lander, Shlita. He's the Rosh Shiva, the Shiva's Or Chaim. In Queens. And he said as follows, you know, whenever you learn Torah, it affects you as a person. You become a more kadosh person. You learn Torah, you're a more ruchnius person, it affects you as a person. So you become a more spiritual person. Learning Torah is like taking vitamins. You take vitamins, it makes your body stronger. Taking vitamins, it makes you strong. Okay. But what Rav Sol Salanter is saying is, when you learn the halachos of a particular avera, you learn the halachos of a particular mitzvah, it affects you, it makes you stronger in that area. That's like taking medicine. That's like taking antibiotics for that particular avera. There's an avera you're trying to work on, there's a mitzvah you want to get stronger in. When you learn the halachos of that mitzvah or that avera and you get into it in a deep way, that's like antibiotics. That's medicine. That's antibiotics. It's not just general vitamins. It hones in on that particular thing. It's a very, very sharp muscle that explains the nekuda. Okay. Now, what's fascinating is, and this I'm not sure is so widely known, but Rabbi Sol gives an example. He gives an example here in the Igeres HaMusar. His example is Lashon Hara. That's the example. Look back in source number one. In the middle here of source number one. He says here as follows. He says, "Lashon hara chamura, Lashon Hara is a very serious Avera. Binakel Yavru Aleha Gam Bli Taiva Gedola. People violate this Avera too easily. Ikir Hashmir Mehavera Hi. Rak Laso says a Hergil Teva Eitzel Adam. How can you stop this Avera? You have to change your nature. And he explains, that the way to change your nature is to learn the halachos in depth. That's what he gets to at the end. So it's very fascinating. The example he gives, the example in this classic Yisod, is Lashon Hara. So with this Yisod in mind, that's how we're going to enter learning the laws of Lashon Hara. If we learn the laws in depth, and we're thinking about it and focus on it, so of course, we have to be inspired to speak less Lashon Hara, and the Chafetz Chaim gives us plenty of inspiration. But aside from that, just naturally, when you learn the halachos in depth and you get involved in it, it affects your neshama, it's medicine, it's antibiotics, and it will help us, Mir Tashem, speak less Lashon Hara. So that's Rabbi Saul Salanter, the famous Yisod, with the additional comment that his example was Lashon Hara. Okay. But it goes much further than that. The Chafetz Chaim, when he wrote his Sefer Chafetz Chaim, so he went around, he received haskamos for his Sefer. Haskamos. This is the way of the Torah world. When you write a Sefer, and you're a young gadol, a young up-and-coming Tam Chacham or a young gadol, so you get haskamos, approbations from older gadol. This is part of the Mesorah. A new Sefer comes out, and you're young. And this is, by the way, fascinating. The Chafetz Chaim was the greatest gadol. But this is how the system works. When you're a young, developing Talmud Chacham, developing gadol, so then when you write your first Sefer or two, you're going to get haskamos for your Sefer. Then when you get older and you publish, you're not going to get haskamos when you're older. So the Chafetz Chaim here was young. He was in his 30s when he wrote this Sefer. A classic example nowadays, you take Rav Avadi Yosef Shlita. He's written many Tshuva Svarim. His first set of tshuvas, he has haskamos from the leading Gedolim of that time, around 50 years ago. Well, now he doesn't get haskamos anymore, because now he's an older, developed Gadol. So the Chafetz Chaim has haskamos for his earlier Svarim. And these haskamos are fascinating. There's a haskama here, written by the Dayanim from Vilna, Rav Yosef and Rav Bezalel HaKohen, two of the Dayanim in Vilna. And in their haskama, what they do is they point out, they don't refer specifically to Rav Saul Salanter's Yisod, but they point out that at least regarding Lashon Hara, Rav Saul Salanter's Yisod is hinted at, it's basically mentioned, we'll see, in the Gemara itself. Very, very exciting. And this is a beautiful idea. You see, when an Achron says a Chiddush, a new idea, okay, he says an idea and he's a big gadol and we accept it and we learn it. But you always want to try to find that it's, you know, grounded in the Gemara. If you can find a remez, a hint, something in the Gemara that relates to what this Achron says, it makes it much more exciting and a stronger idea. So we're going to see here, we're going to go through this haskama of these Anim from Vilna, that they pointed out that Rabbi Saul Salanter's Yisod is actually in the Gemara itself. So it starts as follows. They begin their haskama. If you have the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, so towards the beginning of the Sefer, there's a list of haskamas ha-ga'onim, the haskamas of the great ga'onim. So it's the third printed haskama, or actually it's the fourth printed haskama. It's the, by far, it's the longest one. Okay. So it begins, and they quote two gemaras that we're going to be discussing. These two gemaras are in the source sheet number 2. I have both of the Gemaras. So first I quote the Gemara in Erechin. It's source number 4. Amar Rabbi Chama Rev Chanina. Ma takanaso shemasapre Lashon Hara. What is the corrective measure? What is the remedy for someone who speaks Lashon Hara? You spoke Lashon Hara. What should you do if you as a corrective remedy? Im Talmud Chacham hu. If you're Talmud Chacham, yasok b'Torah. Learn Torah. If someone is able to learn Torah, learn Torah. Good. Shenemar, Marpe Lashon Eitz Chaim. The cure of a tongue is the tree of life. Ein Lashon Hara, Lashon Hara. Lashon refers there to Lashon Hara, the Gemara explains. And Ein Eitz, Ela Torah. And Eitz is Torah, Eitz Chaim Hi, Lamachazikim Bo. So the Gemara says that you're a Talmud Chacham, you spoke Lashon Hara, you want to stop speaking Lashon Hara, you want to cure yourself. run every remedy. I want to cure myself of lashon hara. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to learn Torah. Okay. So learning Torah will protect me and safeguard me from speaking lashon hara in the future. That's what the Gemara sounds like. But there's a problem. Because there's another Gemara in Sota, which they quote here in the Haskam. Yesh kodakte, meha deskarsina besota, daf kaf aleph. There's a Gemara in Sota, on daf kaf aleph, and the Gemara there says, it's on the source sheet, source number 5. The Gemara has a whole discussion about when you learn Torah. Learning Torah sometimes protects one from punishment, and sometimes safeguards someone from doing the Aveira again. That's the discussion of the Gemara. So the Gemara's conclusion is as follows. Ella Amar Rabba. Rabba says, Torah, be'itna de'asikba, megana u'matzva. I'm reading the underlined parts in source number 5. When you learn Torah, at the time that you're learning it, it protects you from punishment, and it saves you from doing the Aveira again, from doing the Aveira. Be'itna de'lo asikba, but when you're not actually learning, Agune Megana, it will protect you from punishment. Learning Torah has this great quality that Lima Torah can sometimes protect you one from punishment for other Averas. That's a different topic. Atsule lo matzah. But learning Torah won't necessarily help protect you from doing Averas when you're not learning. It won't safeguard you from doing Averas when you're not learning. That's how Rashi explains. Megana in the Gemara means it protects you from punishment. And matzah means it safeguards you from the Yetzer Hara that you shouldn't do the Aveira again. So this Gemara says quite clearly that learning Torah helps safeguard you from doing Aveiras when you're learning. But it doesn't necessarily safeguard you from doing Aveiras when you're not learning. That's what the Gemara says in Sota. So these Gaonim ask the following question: what exactly is the Pshat in the Gemara in Erechin? The Gemara in Erechin says that if you're a Talmud Chacham and you want to and you spoke Lashon Hara and you want to safeguard yourself, you don't want to speak Lashon, you want to cure yourself, a remedy, you want to cure yourself from Lashon Hara, Marpeik, cure yourself from Lashon Hara. How can you cure yourself? Learn Torah. Now, what does that mean? Now, it goes as follows: if the Gemara is discussing that you don't want to, if it's discussing when you're actually learning, well, when a person's learning, he's protected from all Aveiros, the Gemara says in Sota, not just Lashon Hara. But more than that, when a person's learning, he's not going to be speaking Lashon Hara when he's actually learning. The Gemara in Erechin clearly means that if you learn Torah, it will protect you from speaking Lashon Hara at other times, not only when you're learning. If it's discussing when you're learning, you're not going to be speaking Lashon Hara when you're learning, when you're actually learning. You're not going to be talking twice, you know, Zachar B'Sharm B'Di B'Recha. You'll be learning Torah and talking Lashon Hara. You can't, it's impossible. You're not doing that. That's not what the Gemara means. The Gemara doesn't mean that when you're learning at those moments you're not speaking Lashon Hara. That's obvious. We'll see it. We'll read it inside in a second. The Gemara clearly means that when you're learning, that when a person learns Torah, he'll be cured from speaking Lashon Hara at other times as well, even when he's not learning. Let's see it inside. It's here in the Haskama of the Gaonim. It's around 30 lines down. The Gemara said, they say, when you're learning Torah, the Torah protects you from all Aveiros when you actually learn. And furthermore, the Gemara, they say, when you're learning Torah. So the Gemara can't mean that it's a refuah, the Gemara can't mean that's a safeguard, don't speak, that you won't speak Lashon Hara then. If you're speaking Lashon Hara, if you're learning Torah, you won't be speaking Lashon Hara. So when you read the Gemara in Erechin, in light of the Gemara in Sota, you have this difficulty. The Gemara can't mean that when you're learning, it protects you. The Gemara must mean that when you're learning, when you learn Torah, it protects you from speaking Lashon Hara, even when you're not actually learning. Here's what they say. Another approximately 10 lines down. It's in the Haskama. You can find it there. Starting from the words, V'al kein nira. Deha diyamar be'erchin dema takanaso. Shilo yavu de lashon hara yaso betora. That which the Gemara says in Erechin, that if you want to protect yourself from lashon hara, you should learn Torah. What does it mean? It means eino ela b'hach Torah atzma d'dine iser lashon hara b'rechilus b'chol makom asher b'Torah. It means as follows: the Gemara in Sota says that if you learn Torah, it protects you from doing averus now. It doesn't protect you when you're not learning Torah. Okay. But the Gemara in Erechin, as we prove, seems to mean that if you learn Torah, it protects you from speaking Lashon Hara even when you're not learning Torah. But that's against the Gemara in Sota. The Gemara in Sota says it only protects you when you're actually learning. So it must be, these Gaonim say, that there's a difference. The Gemara in Sota is discussing learning Torah in general. And the Gemara in Erechin is discussing learning the Torah about Lashon Hara. If one learns the halachos of Lashon Hara, and one is involved in the halachos of Lashon Hara, so then it has a special quality, that Torah, that it will protect you from the aver of Lashon Hara, even when you're not learning. So what these Gaonim have discovered, and the chiddush they've really discovered is, that the way they learned the Gemara in Erechin, this Gemara in Erechin is saying Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's chiddush, exactly his chiddush, that if you learn the laws of Lashon Hara, it will not only help you not speak Lashon Hara then, when you're actually learning, as you said before, that's of course it means that. But it doesn't only mean that. It means that if you learn the laws of Lashon Hara, it'll help protect you from Lashon Hara even when you're not actually learning. And that's the difference between the two Gemaras. The Gemara in Sota says that learning Torah will help safeguard you from averus when you're learning, but not necessarily when you're not learning. That's when you learn Torah in general. We'll call that the vitamin learning of Gemara, using Rav Lander's metaphor. Torah has vitamins, protects you from averus when you're learning, but doesn't necessarily protect you at other times, not necessarily. But when it comes to learning the laws of Lashon Hara itself, then you have the Gemara, that's the antibiotics. Then you have the Gemara that if you learn the laws of Lashon Hara, then it will help safeguard you from speaking Lashon Hara even when you're not learning the laws of Lashon Hara, which is exactly what Rabbi Saul Salanter says. Learn them in depth and it will help change you and you won't speak Lashon Hara in general. This is very exciting. We just took the famous Yesod of Rabbi Saul Salanter from the late 1800s, and these Dayanim found that it's basically in the Gemara in Erechin from around 1300 years earlier. Very, very exciting. A further idea also here in the Haskama is that they point out, and again, they have a reason why they say this, that it seems that this idea that if you want the learning of the halachos to change you as a person, that you won't speak Lashon Hara even when you're not learning the laws of Lashon Hara, this will work better if you have better kavanah. If your intention when you're learning is to learn in order to keep the halachos, to be more careful, that's when it will work. They say it here, that, again, it's a few lines later, V'al kein, tzarich lomar, digam limud Torah zu, atzma, the isurei Lashon Hara v'ruchigus, eino mo'il, it only helps, rak only if, on these halachos. So what they're saying here is that this is how to approach learning the laws of Lashon Hara. Rabbi Saul Salanter's Yesod is correct. Not only is it correct, it's very correct. It's here in the Gemara. And for it to work, if you learn the laws of Lashon Hara with the intention of trying to keep it, then it'll have this special impact. It's antibiotics. It'll protect you from this aveira, even when you're not learning. And even when you're not learning, you'll be able to be more careful with the laws of Lashon Hara. So this is a beautiful, deep idea, how when you're involved in learning this sefer, it will help all of us be more careful with the laws of Lashon Hara. So that's another very exciting point. Rabbi Saul Salanter's idea is in the Gemara itself. However, there's another exciting point, very, very exciting, and that's as follows. This idea of Rabbi Saul Salanter regarding Lashon Hara actually is in the Chafetz Chaim himself. It's in the end of the Hakdama. Take a look in the Hakdama of the Chafetz Chaim. We're going to be going through this Hakdama, Be'ezus Hashem, you know, very carefully in order from the beginning. But just for now, turn to the end of the Hakdama. The Chafetz Chaim has a full Hakdama, it's a foreword, and then he has a Psicha, which is an introduction. The very last paragraph of the Hakdama. The very last paragraph, the Chafetz Chaim basically says this idea of Rabbi Saul Salanter. It's fascinating. Take a look. Find here, again, it's the last paragraph in the Hakdama. It says as follows. So the Chafetz Chaim is explaining why he wrote the Sefer. He wrote the Sefer. We're going to discuss it in great length and in detail. Why he wrote the Sefer, what he had in mind, what he was trying to do. So the Chafetz Chaim says one of his goals of writing the Sefer is to have all the laws of Lashon Hara together in one spot. And if you learn the laws of Lashon Hara, it will help you naturally speak less Lashon Hara. Let's see it inside. Gam levad zeh yaduahu mash juva b'medrash rab. And he quotes a medrash in Parshas Naso. V'zeh l'shonu. Im yagata har b'divrehem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu meisir yetzahar mimcha. If you work hard, if you analyze, if you work hard at these words of Torah, Hashem will take away the Yetzirah. Oh, that's our idea. Alkein amarti el libi, I said to myself, Efshar shayidei sheya'ainu b'sefer hazeh, if people look into this sefer, shumalukat mikol divrei rishonim, v'yisponu bo, lo yishkor kol kach yetzirah b'avon zeh. If people analyze my sefer and learn all the halakhos and think about it, the Yetzirah won't be so strong regarding this aveira. This is very exciting. This is exactly the soul of every soul Salanter. That's what he says. It's a Medrash Rabba in Parashas Naso. I'm not sure everyone knows this. I didn't notice this the first few times I went through the Hakdama. But it's beautiful. The Chafetz Chaim here says, black on white, the exact idea of every soul Salanter, quoting the Medrash in Parashas Naso. And that's one of the reasons he wrote the Sefer. Aside from everything else, which we'll get to, Bezrat Hashem, if you learn the halachos, it will help remove the Yetzirah for Lashon Hara. It's the antibiotics, it's the medicine to not to strengthen your body in general, to strengthen your neshama in general. It's the antibiotics to remove the particular Yetzirah of speaking Lashon Hara. To me, this was a chiddush, because I'm not sure it's quoted. The Chafetz Chaim says the same yesod. So I showed this paragraph to Rav Nevin Saul Shlita, one of the Gedolim. And he liked it a lot. He said, Nachon, Yafem Ma'od. And he had a big smile. Now, this is Rav Nevin Saul Shlita. I'll be quoting him many times, Mitch Hashem, during this shiring. Just want to give you a little introduction to who Rav Nevin Saul is and why it's really great to quote Rav Nevin Saul all the time. Rav Nevin Saul is the Rav of the Old City, here at Tikkah in Yerushalayim. He's one of the Gedolei Ador. He is the closest student of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach Zatzal, one of the greatest Gedolim of the previous generation. They learned together. First, he was in a shir when he was younger. Rav Nevin Saul was in Rav Shlomo Zalman's shir. And then later, when he got older and became a big Gadol himself, a Talmud Chacham himself, they learned Harbusa together for many, many years. And they went through Shas together, line by line, more than once. So Rav Nevin Saul, Shlita, Rav Nevin Saul can quote what Rav Shlomo Zalman says on basically every line of Shas. Very exciting. It's not so common that two great Gedolim sit and learn together line by line through all of Shas. Normally, each Gadol has his own style of learning, and Gedolim sometimes learn with Talmidim, but to sit with one student and go through all of Shas, it's not so common. And Rav Nevin Saul did that with Rav Shlomo Zalman. It's very, very exciting. Rav Nevin Saul, aside from his great knowledge of Torah, is known to be a great tzaddik. He's so careful in keeping mitzvos in many ways, and which I'll be discussing. And certain things he's known for. Rav Nevin Saul has a davens vasikin every Shabbos morning at the Kotel. And after davening vasikin, he goes up to his house and he has kiddush at his house. Yeah. So at the kiddush at his house, it's very nice. First, Rav Nevin Saul says a short bar Torah on the parsha, and then he fields questions. Any question you have on the parsha takes questions. And it's very nice. Rav Nevin Saul's, the Rebbetzin, Rebbetzin Nevin Saul's there as well sometimes. And to see Rav Nevin Saul interact with his wife, it's wonderful. Mamas, you see how Gadol interacts and on this level, the way they treat each other with such respect and such simcha. So once I was there and the following story happened. So the kiddush was winding down, and the Rebbetzin, Rav Nemitzel's wife, the Rebbetzin, so she came out of the kitchen and she said, you know, next Shabbos we're not going to be here for Shabbos. We're going to one of our children, I think in Har-Nov. We're not going to be here for Shabbos next Shabbos. The meaning was that if you planned on coming to the Kosel Vasikin to come to the Kiddush, you know, don't come because we're not going to be here for Shabbos. Okay. So then she added on, you know, but the Kotel is going to be here next Shabbos, which meant come anyway. Even if we're not here, it's good to come to the Kosel Dan Vasikin at the Kosel. Okay. And then she added on, and Mirat Hashem, the Beis Hamikdash will be here next Shabbos too. Well, Beis Hamikdash too next Shabbos, even better. Okay. So when Rebbetzin Nevinsal said that, Rav Nevinsal said, well, if the Beis Hamikdash is going to be here next Shabbos, then we're going to be here too, and the whole discussion is moot. We're not going to Har-Nov for Shabbos, the first Shabbos you have a Beis Hamikdash. It's a very, very funny, sharp line. And that's the type of humor that he has. Very, very pleasant humor. That's Rav Nevinsal. Rav Nevinsal is known to be extraordinarily careful with his time. He's very careful with his time. He learns when he walks. If you see him in the Old City, he holds a sefer and he walks slowly. He looks up once in a while to see where he's going, but he has a sefer and he learns. He looks down, he learns when he walks. That way not to waste any time. Okay? You know, he knows the alleyway, the different ways to walk in the Old City. He knows where to go, and he walks, and he learns when he walks. He's very careful with his time. If you ask him a question, so he answers your question. And then, like this happens a lot, so when you're thinking of a follow-up question, he goes back to learn for those few seconds, and then when you ask him another question, he'll answer your question again. He's very, very careful with his time. So once I heard the following idea, and this is a very important story, as we'll see in a second, and this story, we'll come back to this story many times, Meretz Hashem, in these classes. So I once heard as follows. Rav Nevinsal, when he sometimes flies to America, he goes to give chizuk to various Talmidim, to strengthen them in their Avodas Hashem. So when he goes to America, he prefers to sit in a seat further back in the airplane. Okay. And when he flies from America back to Israel, he prefers to sit in a chair, in a seat, further up in the airplane. Why? So he said, he'd rather be in Eretz Yisrael longer. He wants the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. You know, he likes to be in Yerushalayim. He likes to be in the Old City. He wants the most Kedusha. So therefore, he prefers to sit in the back of the airplane leaving Israel. So he's in Israel a little bit longer. And he prefers to sleep. He prefers to sit in the front of the airplane coming to Israel. So he's back in Israel a little bit more quickly. Okay. So I heard this. I was very impressed, very inspired. I mentioned to someone, or someone heard about this, and they said, it doesn't make sense. Like it's such a short amount of time, like less than a half a second. How do you understand such something? So I figured, okay, I'll ask him. So I went to Rav Nemitzal and I said, Rebbe, I heard this about Rebbe, that when you leave Eretz Yisrael, you sit in the back. When you come in, you sit towards the front. And he said, Ken, I said, it's a very short amount of time. So he said, I said, it's rak satzma. He said, Ken, aval zek satzma. Which is exactly what I thought he would say. Yeah, it's a little bit of time. So Rav Nevinsal wants to be that extra half a second in the airspace of Eretz Yisrael. Now, this is an amazing story. How does the story apply to us? It applies as follows. I don't think that all of us, based on this story, should start demanding to sit in the back of the airplane when we leave Eretz Yisrael and sit in the front when we come in. That's not the level that we're holding. That's not the level that we're on. Rav Nevinsal's neshama is so sensitive. He's so careful. He can feel and he can appreciate even this half a second of being in Eretz Yisrael. But the lesson for us is that, wait a second, let's have perspective. Sometimes you fly to Israel. Appreciate being in Israel, just being here at all. A person, you fly from the States to Israel and you land in Israel. And, you know, on the airplane, there wasn't so much leg room and the food wasn't so good. So you come to Eretz Yisrael and you complain, oh, the food wasn't so good and the leg room. No, you had a chance to come to Eretz Yisrael. You just flew to Eretz Yisrael, a chance to be here. Our great-great-grandparents would have given anything to come to Eretz Yisrael. If you read stories in Europe, if a Jew was zocheh to visit Eretz Yisrael, he would put some dirt in his pocket and from Eretz Yisrael, take it back with him on the boat. He'd get to Europe and he'd put the dirt on the bima, people would say, wow, that's some of the dirt from Eretz Yisrael. What's the idea? The idea is as follows. This is a mashal I heard from Erlewick Shlita, and this mashal about Gedolim stories. This mashal isn't good. This mashal is perfect. Rav Erlewick said, Gedolim stories are like a compass. They point you in the right direction. Gedolim stories are like a compass. They point you in the right direction. In other words, if you have a compass, it points north. Now, to the North Pole. Now, most people don't go to the North Pole. Maybe some explorers go to the North Pole. We don't go to the North Pole. So what do you use a compass for? It points you in the right direction. Gedolim are at very high levels. And when you read a story about the Gedolim and it's way beyond your level, that's okay. But that's a direction to go in. So if Rav Nevensol can appreciate being in Israel for a quarter of a second, then we should appreciate it being in Israel and having a chance to come here to learn, to live, to do mitzvot, marriage, Yisrael, just to be here. I know people sometimes, they're afraid to read Gedolim books, Gedolim biographies, because, oh, the story, it's too much for me, I can't handle it, and it's too much. No, that's a shame. You shouldn't do that. Read the stories. And if you read a story and the story seems like at a very high level, it's okay. Your job is not to be at that level today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. Your job is to go in that direction. And if a story of a gadol can inspire you to move in a certain direction, then it's wonderful. This is how to use gadolim stories. It's a perfect mashal. Gadolim stories are like a compass. And this story of Rav Nevensol should be an inspiration for all of us. Appreciate it. I appreciate coming to Eretz Yisrael. What a zchus that we have to fly to Israel and get here in 10 hours. What a zchus. And try to focus on the positives and not on the, and let's say the food's not so good. And let's say the legroom, okay, but I had a chance to come to Eretz Yisrael. If Nevensol on his level appreciates a quarter of a second, and we on our level should appreciate being here. Very important idea. So that's Rav Nevensol. So I told this word to Rav Nevensol that the Chafetz Chaim himself here in this paragraph, getting back to the Hakdamah, the Chafetz Chaim says this sort of Rav Salanter, and he said, yes, Cain, Nachon, Yafem Ma'od, that he says it here. So I was very happy that Rav Nevensol accepted that idea. So this is the Yisod of Rav Yisrael Salanter, and this is the idea that the two goals that we're learning the Sefer in depth, with the footnotes sometimes, and we're going to try to speak less Lashon Hara, they're totally interconnected. Rav Yisrael Salanter said it in his famous Igaris HaMusar about Lashon Hara. The Dayanim, the Gaonim from Vilna, they said it in the Haskama to the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, quoting the Gemara in Erech, and it's in the Gemara, and the Chafetz Chaim says it himself. This is a major Yisod. These are our three goals in learning the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, the two that I'm mentioning now, and the third that we discussed in the previous two classes. Okay. Now let's begin the Sefer. Let's begin the actual Hakdama of the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, the foreword. Now here in the Hakdama, what the Chafetz Chaim is going to do, the Chafetz Chaim is going to be describing and explaining why he wrote the Sefer. What were his goals in writing the Sefer? And the Chafetz Chaim, when he explains this, when he explains things, he likes to start from the beginning. See it all over his writings. He goes way back to the beginning, and he approaches things in a very fundamental Yisodi way. And that's what he does here in his foreword, in the Hakdama to the Sefer Chafetz Chaim. So let's begin. Open up to the Hakdama of the Sefer Chafetz Chaim. Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Asher Yivdilanu Mikol Ha'amim, V'nasan Lanu Toraso, V'ichnisanu Li'aretz HaKodesh, Kedei Shenizkeh L'kayim Kol Mitzvoso. Baruch Hashem, Hashem separated us from all the nations. We're the chosen nation. So Hashem chose Am Yisrael, number one. He gave us the Torah, number two, and brought us into Eretz Yisrael so that we can do all the mitzvot. In one sentence, that's what Judaism is all about. We're the chosen nation. We have a Torah. We're in Eretz Yisrael. We can do all the mitzvot. That's what Hashem wanted. That's Hashem's goal for the world. Chosen nation, Torah, all the mitzvot in Eretz Yisrael. What's the idea? Why did Hashem do this? V'chol kavanaso hirak l'tov asenu. Hashem's kavana was, Hashem's intention was for our benefit. Kidei shal yedei zeh nihyeh kedoshim eilav. So we'll be more kadosh. If we're able to do all the mitzvos, we'll become more kadosh. As it says, v'asisim es kol mitzvosai, v'yisem kedoshim eilav keichem. You'll be kadosh. And why is it good to be kadosh? The Chofetz Chaim continues, v'yiyeh b'yicholteinu l'kabel es hashpo'as tuvo rov chazda v'olhaz v'olam haba. And if we're more kadosh, we'll be able to receive Hashem's wonderful bounty, His shefa, the abundant good from Hashem, from Shemayim, in Olam Haz and Olam Haba, for our benefit. And he quotes a pasuk, as the Torah says in Devarim Perek Yud, Lishmor es kol mitzvos, mitzvos Hashem, keep the mitzvos, l'tov lach, for your benefit. This is a very concise approach to why Hashem created the world, what he wanted from Am Yisrael, what Hashem's goal is. An Am Yisrael, giving and having an Am Yisrael, giving us a Torah. This is very much based on the writings of the Ramchal. If you learn the Sefer Derech Hashem, it's a wonderful Sefer, that's what he says. Hashem is the ultimate Tov. Hashem is the ultimate good. And Hashem wants to be Metiv. He wants to do good for us. So the most good that we can have, the best we can have, is that we can be fitting and be fitting and ra'ui and fitting to receive Hashem's Shefa from Shemayim. So if we do mitzvos and we're more kadosh, then we are a stronger kli, a stronger utensil to receive all of Hashem's bracha from Shemayim. So Hashem chose us as a nation. He gave us a Torah. He put us in Eretz Yisrael so we can do all the mitzvos. And if we can do all the mitzvos in Eretz Yisrael, we'll be as kadosh as we can possibly be. And then we're fitting to receive all of Hashem's bounty. That's what really the world is all about. That's Am Yisrael's purpose in the world. That's what Hashem wants from Am Yisrael in the world. That's the first paragraph of the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, based on the writings of the Ramchal, a very concise presentation of our purpose in the world, what Hashem wants from us in the world. Okay. Next paragraph. Now, as we go through the Sefer, we're not going to be reading every single word. We're going to be skipping around in some places. And so here we're going to the middle of the second paragraph. He says as follows. Hekim lanu b'chol dor v'dor mei ba'yis rishon nevim l'yachzureinu l'mutov v'yapi mei ba'yis sheni sheyorat ha-matzav ha-yisraeli ba'avonoseinu ha-rabim mikushasa ha-rishona v'chosru lehem chamisha dvarim sheyorim b'yis rishon im kol ze b'yoseinu alad maseinu v'hoyle lanu b'yis ha-bechira ha-yini yecholim l'kaim kol mitzvah ha-torah. So he says as follows: Hashem wants us to be able to do all the mitzvos. So we're in the Bisman Bayis Rishon, the first base of Mikdash. All right. Then we know that the Navi tells us Am Yisrael, we're doing Averis. What did Hashem do? He sends Navim to give us Musar. Stop doing the Averis. Do tshuva. Come back. Okay, that was Bayis Rishon. The Chofetz Chaim sort of skips the gullus between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. Okay, he skips it. Then we have Bayis Sheni. Now Bayis Sheni, and this is going to be very important for next class, Bez Hashem. Bayis Sheni, the Chofetz Chaim here says, wasn't the same as Bayis Rishon. Bayis Sheni was on a much lower spiritual level than Bayis Rishon. The Chofetz Chaim here quotes the Gemara from Yuma, Daf Kaf Aleph, that Bizman Bayis Sheni, we were missing five important things. The Gemara says we were missing the Aron. The Aron wasn't around in Bizman Bayis Sheni. The Shechina, Ruach HaKodesh, the Urim V'Tumim, and the special Eish Mishamayim that came down onto the Mizbeach. Five very special things that reflect Hashem's Shechina, His presence in the Beis HaMikdash, they were missing. Hashem's presence in the Beis HaMikdash was much weaker at Bizman Bayis Sheni compared to Bayis Rishon. Okay. But still, despite the fact that Bizman Bayis Sheni, things weren't perfect, they weren't the same as Bayis Rishon, but still, they were good enough. Why? We had a Beis HaMikdash, we could offer karbanos, we can do all the mitzvot. And this is the point. Hashem wants us, Am Yisrael, to be able to perform all of the mitzvot. For that, we have to be in Eretz Yisrael. We have to have a Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, Bizman Bayis Sheni, things were still okay. They weren't perfect, but they're still pretty good. They were still okay. And we were able to achieve our purpose in the world of doing all the mitzvot. So, we're Bizman Bayis Sheni, and things are okay. Again, the Chofetz Chaim basically skips over the short gullus between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. But basically, from the time Hashem gave us the Torah, we're heading towards our purpose, being in Eretz Yisrael. We're there for many years. And if you just, again, he skips over the gullus.
We're in Eretz Yisrael, Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni. We're able to achieve our purpose in the world. That's where the Chafetz Chaim is holding at the end of the first two paragraphs of the foreword. Now, just to give a brief outline of what's going to happen next, and this we'll get to Bezrat Hashem in the coming classes, the Chafetz Chaim is now going to say as follows. But then we had Churban Bayis Sheni. And once we have Churban Bayis Sheni, and we're in Golus for a very long time, now in Golus, we can't achieve our purpose in the world. We can't achieve our purpose in the world because we're out of Eretz Yisrael. We don't have Beis HaMikdash. We can't do all the mitzvot. So the Chafetz Chaim says that our goal as a nation should be to try to undo the Golus and get back to Beis HaMikdash. Ah. So we have to figure out what was the primary cause of Churban Beis HaMikdash Sheni, Churban Bayis Sheni. And if we can figure out the cause of Churban Bayis Sheni, then we'll know we have to work on this to undo this, and then we can undo the goals and get back to Beis HaMikdash. Take a guess. So the Chafetz Chaim says, what's he going to develop the idea? What was the main cause of Churban Beis HaMikdash? It was, of course, the Chafetz Chaim it was Lashon Hara. So that's going to be the next piece of the introduction, that Lashon Hara caused Churban Bayis Sheni, as we'll discuss Bezrat Hashem next week. And that's the Golus that we're in now. And if we want to undo the Golus and get back to have the Beis HaMikdash so that we can achieve our purpose in the world, we have to undo the root problem, which is Lashon Hara. And that leads into why he wrote his Sefer. So these are the first two paragraphs of the Hakdama to Sefer Chafetz Chaim with an introduction for next class. Okay. So what do we do today? Just to review. First, I pointed out several ideas from the overview of the book of the Sefer, Lesson a Day, which fit into our previous classes, that Lashon Hara helps you. If you're careful with Lashon Hara, you'll see more good out there. Liros Tov, shot in the Pasuk. Liros Tov, you'll see good out there in the world. Number two, Lashon Hara speakers tend to be more unhappy. Everything around them is bad. And if you avoid Lashon Hara, you'll be a happier person. That's the first point. Then we jumped into and went into in depth Rabbi Sol Salanter's Yesod, that learning the laws of a topic in depth help you work on that halacha in general. It's not just vitamins, it's also antibiotics. It gets rid of that particular Yetzirah. And Rabbi Sol Salanter said that, and what example did he give? Lashon Hara. And then we saw in the Haskama of the Gaonim to the Sefer Chafetz Chaim that they point out that Yesod is in the Gemara itself. We discussed why the Chafetz Chaim went around to get Haskamos. He was a big gadol. He was young. When you're a young gadol, you go to other older gadolim. That's the way the Masoah works, to give you Haskamos to your earlier Svarim. And then we saw that the Chafetz Chaim himself has this Yesod at the end of his Hakdam, at the end of the foreword to his Sefer, this exact Yesod. Oh, and therefore, with this Yesod, we understand that our two goals, our first two goals, to learn the Sefer and to speak less Lashon Hara, are totally intertwined, and that's really our goal, to inspire ourselves to speak less Lashon Hara through these classes. We then started the Hakdama of the Sefer itself, and the Chafetz Chaim starts in the beginning, the very beginning, why Hashem created the world, what He had in mind for Am Yisrael, a chosen nation, in Eretz Yisrael, doing all the mitzvos, Hashem's Tov, He wants to give us as much as He can, and we have to be fitting and deservant of it, we have to be deservant of receiving all of Hashem's bounty. And that's doing all the mitzvos. And now we have Bizman Bayis Rishon, Bizman Bayis Sheni. But Churban Bayis Sheni ruins the plan. And that we'll discuss Bezrat Hashem next week. And finally, we also discussed Rav Nevensol Shlita, some stories about Rav Nevensol, very important stories. And Rav Orlovich's perfect mashal, that Gedolim stories are like a compass. They point you in the right direction. We shouldn't be afraid of Gedolim stories. We should be inspired by them. Read the stories, and then take the kernel of the idea and apply it in your own life in a small way. That's the idea, that Gedolim stories are like a compass. Okay, and we'll stop here.